The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, one and all. Welcome along to the Specials Podcast for another week. We have got Strictly Come Dancing. We've got X Factor and I'm a Celebrity is starting as well. Also on the Specials pages, you'll see loads of Christmas specials. The weather's turning. The nights are drawing in. It can only mean it is the season for reality TV. Andy Holding's on the line. So is Reality Rob Dixon. We're going to be speaking to Daniel Gould from Sofabet soon as well. Andy, you well?
I'm good, yeah, I'm good, boys.
Excellent. Robert, you well?
Yes, not too bad.
Award-winning Rob Dixon this week.
Award-winning Rob Dixon, yeah.
The PR team at William Hill won an award, and Rob somehow found himself on the table. Congratulations. Thanks for the invite.
Guest, that's what I was. Just a guest.
Wow, nice. Free everything?
I think everything was free, yeah.
No. Well, you didn't pay anyway.
I haven't paid, put it that way, and I did drink a lot of champagne.
Very good. Andy, you well? You're on the way to the race. You're on the way to Cheltenham, so we won't keep you too long. Can't be too far from the first race as we record this.
I've still got an hour, but I'll always make time for you guys.
Oh, you're such a gent, such a gent. Strictly then, we'll start with, before we get Daniel Gould on the phone. Let's just recap very quickly on the outrights. Frankie Bridge is the outright favourite now at 2-1. Jake Wood, 11-4. Drifting ever so slightly week in, week out now. Pixie Lott, 3-1. Caroline Flack, 6-1. 8-1, Mark Wright. 33-1, Simon Webb. 40-1, Sunetra Sarkar. It's 66s for Judy Murray and 66-1 for Steve Baxall. We've also got the seventh elimination betting. We've got the highest scorer and the Judy Murray total score for this week, because she is now the focus of lots of people's attention because she's the worst dancer in the competition, but yet we're told by the Daily Star that she has been polling the most votes. So it's an interesting betting heat, that one. Let's start with the outrights. Have you seen much money, Rob, this week for anyone in particular?
Yeah, it's probably more on Frankie again. A quick recap of last week. Pixie was the highest scorer. Jake was very disappointing, I thought. I think he was next to 27, 28 points again. Frankie was consistency again, up at the top of the order. And Caroline, I thought, was actually really good and ended up in the bottom two.
So, yeah, amazing. 31 she got, didn't she? One of the four lowest scores on the way, which was quite a surprise. Five off the lead, but I mean, obviously way off Judy and Jake and Alison. Were you surprised, Andy, to see Jake as low as he was? You know, second lowest score of the week alongside Alison and Alias.
Not really, no. I predicted last week that he wasn't a contender for high score. In fact, he would have been on my shortlist for the lowest score without Judy, if there was such a market.
Yeah.
As I said before, the rumba's just no good to anyone, particularly the male celebrities. And I saw Jake in training and, you know, his arm placement wasn't great. I mean, he got the hip action okay and he got a good bit of swing and sway, but it's just never a dance that you can score over 30 with. So up against the likes of Caroline, Frankie and Pixie and even Simon, who obviously was doing a good dance for him last week, the quick set, he was always going to struggle. So to be honest, his last 2 weeks have been fairly predictable in the sense that he's going to score low and obviously his price is going to drift. But he's, don't forget, he's got some big aces to play up his sleeve. You know, he hasn't done some of the other Latin dances that he's been renowned for. Of course, we've still got the salsa is probably the most memorable dance of the series so far. Over 500,000 hits on YouTube testifies that. And I think he'll come back into his own this week. He's got a good American smooth. He's dancing to Feeling Good as well, which is obviously a good feel-good song. And providing he keeps his frame good and, you know, he can chuck a couple of lifts in there, being an American smooth, you're allowed to do that. I'd see him climbing back up the leaderboard and pushing for favouritism again after the weekend. But I think the outrights basically are really predictable. They've gone very much according to form and who's danced well. And the ones who have been favourites to dance well have obviously used Jake in the betting.
Let's have a look at the highest score market before we come on to the elimination and Judy Murray's total score. We'll go down the betting in favourite order. That's how we usually do things. Pixie Lott is the 9-4 favourite. She's got the Paso this week. Frankie Bridge 5-2. He's got the Quick Step And we've got Caroline Flack, 3-1 to be the highest scorer. She's doing the jive with her partner, Pasha. Next up in the high score is Jake Wood at 5-1. Jake, as Andy just said, has got the American Smooth. And then we have got Mark Wright, 8-1 before we go 20-1 bar. Mark Wright still sticking in there, isn't he, Mark? He's got the Charleston this week with Karen. Thoughts, Andy? I mean, it's pretty boring, this, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty much the same every week, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's just trying to find the way into this. We're not seeing any massive surprises, are we?
No, I mean, to be honest, I've hardly seen an angle throughout the whole competition from start to finish on the high score. You know, as Rob's already said, basically, he just looks at it, juggles the names around and juggles the prices around, and everyone gets a go favourite. They're all pretty much doing similar dances. They're all scoring very similar. Obviously, Pixie had a good week last week in the Foxtrot. She's got a Paso Doble this week, which, looking on the training clips we've seen this week, could be a very, very good dance for her. She got a high number of hits on YouTube last week. She got 18,000 playbacks. She was also top on Digital Spy with nearly 20% of the viewers on there saying that she was the best. She got 36 last week. You know, she could really push towards, you know, getting that score again this week with the Paso Doble if she does it well. Again, a lot depends on where they are in the show. Who's going to get the pimp spot? Who's going to get on last? And obviously, you're compromised if you're one of the top runners in the betting and you get an early slot. I think Caroline's been dealt a couple of really bad hands because, you know, she's been given some good dances to do. I think she's done them really well. But for one reason or another, she either hasn't got a particularly high score, and the voting public haven't really gone with her. I think that's largely to do with the fact she's gone early on the show. Perhaps doing the jive this week to Crocodile Rock, you know, that could be a very flamboyant dance for her. She's looked really good in training. She at 3-1 could be a contender. To be honest, I haven't got an opinion. If there was going to be an absolute wild card, and I think one will score much better than we anticipate, and that might be Simon and Christina, because they're doing the first Argentine tango of the series.
Right.
Obviously, he's got to get that right. It's a very technical dance, as we know. But it also can have an amazing, amazing impact on the audience. And being as it's Blackpool this week, we're looking for something to get the wow factor. And it wouldn't surprise me if Simon was to go really well. And well, I think he's around about a 20-1 shot. He could be worth a look at a big price. But, you know, it'll take a lot for him to beat the main front runners. I think the betting's about right with Pixie Frankie and Caroline. Pretty much how I'd have them as well.
Seventh elimination market sees Judy Murray as the 6-4 favourite to go. Sunetra Sarkar 3-1, 100-30 Steve Baxhall. Simon Webb 6-1, 10-1 Caroline Flack. Mark Wright 12s, Jake Wood 25s, Frankie Bridge and Pixie Lott both 100s. Before we get into this, seeing as Judy Murray is the favourite to go, Rob's priced up her total score this weekend at the big showpiece. Over and under 19.5 runs he's put here. You need to leave the cricket alone.
Have I put runs now this week?
She's not cricket. She's not. You've put over 19 points, under 19.5 runs.
Well, she might get some runs.
She's doing the Viennese waltz. Her scores, if we take out the double score week, her scores have been 18, 17, 23, 22, 18, 20, and 18. So the unders would have landed four times. And it obviously depends on what dance they're doing. But, I mean, you know, when I first saw under 19.5, I was a tad tempted. It's 11-10, so it's the bigger price of the two, of course, as well.
I'd be the opposite way, actually. Right. I think this week she's going to go over 19.5. Not by a million miles. I don't think we've got a great deal of points to play with there. You know, it might well be a 20 or a 21, which seals the deal. A lot depends on what Craig gives her. I mean, he's been giving a three virtually every week, and the other three have been giving a five. I think she's going to get absolute bare minimum five off the others, and that's for an absolute tragic dance. I think with the Viennese Waltz this week, she's going to do okay. Obviously, there's a groundswell of public love for Judy as well. She's in a great auditorium. Anton's very good in Blackpool as well, and it's his spiritual home. The Viennese Waltz is a really good dance and a fairly easy dance to pull off and make it look good. And providing she doesn't do anything silly, she's in hold, and I think Anton will lead her really well. There's a few flamboyant you know, tricks in there and a few lifts. She's also dancing to Let's Go Fly a Kite as well, which is also a very upbeat song as well from the Mary Poppins film. So it's not a massively great value bet at 4-6, but that's the way I go. She got 18 last week for doing the Paso, which is a very difficult dance. The Viennese Waltz is a lot easier. providing Craig's feeling in a good mood as well, if he gives her a 4 or 5, the rest will follow soon. I think we only need one or maybe 2 sixes from the others as well. So I say she's going to get over 19.5.
The elimination market then. Judy Murray, as I said, 6-4 favourite. If she just scored relatively well for her and the votes are still piling in, then it might be wise to look elsewhere. Sinetra Sarkar, 3-1. Steve Baxall is 100-30. Simon Webb, 6-1. Of course, he's flirted with elimination already a couple of times. Caroline Flack, 10s, as I said. Mark Wright, 12s, and you jump up to Jake Wood and the rest at bigger prices. We were talking in the office the other day, Andy, about Sinetra Sarkar, weren't we? And the fact that, you know, she's kind of, she's going under the radar a touch. You know, I think she's, you know, one of these actresses that you kind of feel as you're watching her that you know her, because she's been in so many things on TV. And I was talking to you, and we were saying, like, if you think about the style of Strictly, you know, if there's like a, there could well be a, you know, a real swell of like British Asian support for her. It's got a very Bollywood feel anyway, hasn't it, Strictly? Very, it's very, you know, extrovert and full of glitz and glamour. I wonder how well, I think she's probably polling quite well, you know, Sinetra Sarkar.
Yeah, she must be, because her YouTube sort of playbacks are very low. You know, she's only got 4,000 last week, so not many people wanted to see her do the Foxtrot again. And also, as well, she was very low on Digital Spy's scoring as well. She only got 5% that thought that she was the best dancer. She was the lowest, other than Judy, last week, of all the others. And she was doing a very good dance for her as well. We know that Sinetra's very good in ballroom, as she's proved time and time again. She's been scoring over 30s. She got 31 for the Foxtrot last week. But unfortunately, she's got a massive, massive bogey and a huge stumbling block in the way this week. She's doing the samba. Now, if ever she's going to come unstuck, this is the dance that's going to do it. She's got to get all the right moves in there, all the shape, the feel of it, the samba rolls, the bounce, the swing and the sway. This could be a really difficult dance for her to score high in. If she goes early as well, if she's out early on the show, because I can't see the producers keeping her back. You know, you've got some big names on a big show. You know, the likes of Caroline, Jake, Frankie. They're all going to be towards the back end. I think they're going to save the big guns to the back end. So Sinetra could be one of the early foot soldiers for the rest. And 3-1. If she, like I said, I think she's good value, because Judy, I think, is an unstoppable bandwagon at the moment. It doesn't matter what she does, she seems to be getting through. So I predict that Sinetra could be very, very vulnerable this week. And she, along with the Judy over 19.5, is one of my main bets of the weekend.
What about Steve Baxall doing the American Smooth this week with Ola? He's another one who's kind of he's just kind of drifting along a little bit. I struggle to find where his support's coming from, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I got him wrong last week, didn't I? I thought he might go, but unfortunately he was on last but one, which is obviously a good slot for him. He did the pass, and he did a very good pass, so I thought he might not have been able to pull it off. He only scored 28, but because he went late in the show, unfortunately for me, he survived. He's doing the American Smooth this week, which should be technically a very good dance for him, because what we know of Steve and Ola, they're very good in ballroom. They did a very good waltz the week before. I think they scored over 30. So I think he's probably doing a dance good enough just about to keep him in. You never know. Sometimes the better they do, the worse they get voted. You almost want them to do badly for their supporters to pick up the phone.
It's that
reverse psychology which has become accustomed with X Factor, which he's beginning to move over into Strictly as well.
And interestingly, when you look at the average scores across the whole series so far, he's got an average of 26.6, which sounds pretty good, but that's the lowest of anyone in the competition that's left, apart from Judy and Anton, of course, who averaged just under 19 for their dances. So he is, you know, split across the series so far, he is the second worst dancer of the lot, interestingly. Rob, your thoughts on the elimination market? We were a bit, just first of all, on Judy Murray. You know, we've been talking about, you know, the kind of people wising up to the X Factor and Stevie Ritchie not being a favourite to go every week. Not quite so with that. You couldn't not put Judy Murray as favourite, given what you know about it.
Yeah, you've got to put it. I think Strictly tends to be a little bit less manipulated than X Factor, so to speak. So that's probably why. Stevie's doing all right. I don't think he's. We'll get onto X Factor in a minute, and it's there's always a shelf life for these. And I was going back through pretty much when they take it out of the studio. Strictly, they've taken it to Wembley Arena, and I think this is the second year at Blackpool. And you look at the people that have gone on this this week, then you're looking at your Richard Arnold, Russell Grant, two people who basically performed poorly every single week. And as soon as a big name either went out or was struggling in the bottom two, then there was a sort of, oh, well, look, the joke's over. It's got to finish. And I was on Digital Spy last Saturday, and when Caroline was announced in the bottom two, there was that feeling of, look, this joke's maybe gone too far. How's Judy surviving every week? Why somebody as talented as Caroline in the show falling into the bottom two? Obviously, the fact that Mark Wright fell into the bottom two previously, Simon Webb has also fallen into the bottom two. And I just wonder if it's getting to the bit where the joke's over. If she's going to have a big swan song, make it the sort of Blackpool live show and be done with it.
Yeah, fair enough. But it's a natural for you, Andy. 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point that Rob's made, and I think there's a good deal of logic behind that. But I think she's probably a little bit different to the sort of like the John Sargents, the Russell Grants in this world. I think she genuinely is polling very, very highly, and she might just have one more week in her, and that's why I think Sinatra could be on the cusp.
Very good. I felt like we rattled through that really quickly. It felt like it felt like a proper podcast, not loads of pondering and just discussing things for ages. I think it's your influence, Andy, rather than Rob and mine. That's pretty much all the markets. There are those match bets available still. Frankie Bridge picks your lights 4-6, 11-10. Caroline Flack, Mark Wright, 4-6, 11-10. And Jake Wood, Simon Webb, 1-12, 6-1. We've also got top female and top male still available. Jake Wood, 1-2 to be top male. Mark Wright, 9-4. Simon Webb, 9-1. Steve Baxwell, 16-1. And the top female, which is a really hot heat, isn't it? Frankie Bridge, 11-10. Pixie Lott, 13-8. Caroline Flack, 7-2. Judy Murray, 25s. And Sinatra Sarkar, 33s. Unless you've got any views on those, Andy, we'll let you go to the races.
No, I'm pretty happy with the bets I've had. Obviously, Jay Wood outright still looking good. The top male, I think we should hopefully draw off that. I'm happy the way that the Frankie bandwagon's going to go as well. I put her up at 11-8. I know she's still only 11-10, and there's not that much in it, but I think she's probably just about week in, week out the most popular and the most proficient of the female dancers. And we could get the double there, so we've still got plenty of interest all the way to the end of the show.
Excellent. Andy, thank you very much. Enjoy Cheltenham.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Good luck. Mate.
See you next week.
Andy Holden talking all things Strictly Come Dancing. Let's talk X Factor, shall we? And welcome Mr. Sofabet to the podcast. It's Daniel Gould on the line. Hi, Daniel. You well?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show again, Lee.
No problem, it's our pleasure. I was reading the latest, the midweek kind of update on Sofabet about what people thought of the VTs, which are always fascinating. You know, I always tell people who aren't au fait with the conspiracy theories to watch the VTs and have a different view on them. Really good. The comments, as usual, were brilliantly conspiratory. We're going to have a chat about the outrights, of course. We're going to have a chat about the ninth elimination. But first of all, let's just very quickly look back at last week. It was the we kind of said, didn't we? We thought there'd be some kind of shock, and it was about time that there was some kind of controversy on the show. Paul Acaster looked like he was ready to hit someone. Mainly Louis, with that death stare that he gave him. I watched the Extra Factor afterwards, which I don't always watch, because sometimes, you know, the marathon that is X Factor is enough for anyone. He was still an hour later when they did his exit interview on that show, Daniel. He was still unable to speak, either through sheer anger or just, well, I don't know what else. I mean, he looked on the brink, and he could barely speak, you know, an hour after the show had finished. Really got the man, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, he was in bits, and the kill had been a few weeks in the coming. I mean, he's clearly a kind of nice guy, and he'd had that VT in week four, which had portrayed him as a diva for not wanting to sing the song that he was given. And then, of course, week five, the VT was all about him having to listen to Mel, and the result was him having to sing a song that he knew didn't suit him, Don't Stop Me Now, with a dubstep beat behind it, which sort of drowned out his voice. He went on first. It was a harsh, silent kill.
And Jay James, obviously, lives to fight another day. I mean, you know, I suppose in complete contrast, all the... referring to his, you know, military past and all the rest of it. And suddenly, when he went to the when the military VT was shown, there was none of the kind of quiffed hairdo and you know the preened Jay that we see on the show. It was more kind of scruffy hair and looking a bit more like he would fit in with some soldiers.
Yeah, he was down with the veterans, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so clearly there are plenty of people who feel as you do about J. James Lee.
Yeah, it's not a healthy position to have when you're betting on things. It's clouding my judgment far too much. Let's have a quick look at the outrights then, see what's changed, if anything. I asked after the performance from Andrea Fustini on Twitter, @reality_Rob, has Andrea gone odds on yet? And I think Rob has been a bit sniffy back to me. Well, he has now. 10-11 to win the X Factor 2014. Ben Haynau, 4-1. Fleur East, 9-2. Lauren Platt, 9-2. J. James, 25. So are Stereo Kicks. 40-1 for Only the Young and 40-1 for Stevie Ritchie. Rob, you may as well just listen to me and done it at the weekend.
Why? I wasn't being sniffy about it, was I?
My
point was that I didn't think the VT suited the potential winner of the show. That was all. I still think the fact that they keep mentioning the fact that he's Italian as much as possible isn't helping his cause. I might be wrong. He might win this by 500,000 votes or something.
It was interesting. I mean, it was interesting, Daniel, that VT, because, you know, Rob's right, isn't he? Everything that we know about X Factor, you would think that would be a negative. But as I was watching it, and watching it as a viewer, not with my kind of, you know, conspiracy theory head on, I actually really liked it. It was kind of, it was a bit kind of, oh, look at the Italians. Yeah, you half expected someone to come around the corner singing Just One Cornetto and all that sort of stuff, didn't you? It was very kind of Dolmio advert type, kind of Italian family all eating together. It fitted in with the British thoughts of what we like about Italians most.
I'm with you on that, Lee. I thought it was a delightful VT. They kind of can't step away from the Italianness of him. It's something they have to address because, you know, he's so obviously Italian. And I thought it was far more memorable, the VT, than any of the others. And it's worth pointing out that the staging was really good, high concepts, with him clearly the star. It had a money shot at the end with the camera behind the judges as the judges stood to give him an ovation for the performance. I think all those who have opposed Andrea have to be worried that week five pimping was an indication that producers have reconciled themselves to him winning the competition.
Because when you look back, I suppose, it was about this sort of time, when you look at the figures from last year, that they kind of, whether they wanted Sam Bailey to win or not, they kind of gave up the ghost, Rob. Do you remember? And it was almost like, okay, he's won. Just let her get on with it.
Yeah,
Nicholas McDonald was, I think he came top of the vote and was very close to top of the vote for maybe 2 or 3 weeks early on. It was from kind of, you know, this stage where she really to push on.
Yeah, there was a 2 week period, wasn't there, over those two where it was... She and obviously nailed it. I still, even with the pimp slot on Saturday, I still don't think it was one of these sort of winners' moments. Sometimes I can watch it and think, yeah, they're going to win, and it just that feeling that this is over. And I still, maybe it's my field book talking, but I just think there's a few more twists and turns to come here.
As far as the outrights go, I mean, are you just seeing money for Andrea? Are you seeing?
Yeah, pretty much. We're trying. As much as we can to get the other in the book. We're quite happy, especially Ben, sort of Fleur and Love, and I'm quite happy to take him on at these races. But yeah, even at bottom price now, the 10-11, we're probably taking more money at the 10-11 than the other three combined. So
yeah, very fair points. Let's turn our attention to the ninth elimination, shall we? And Only the Young are the favourites at 7-4. Stevie Ritchie, still not the favourite to go yet. 5-2, he's on the tour. Really interesting, actually. As a quick aside, watching the Extra Factor last week, everyone says what a nice guy he is. And he was asked the question, you know, how do you feel about Paul going? And he answered exceptionally honestly and said, I feel very bad because he's got a fantastic voice, deserves to be here, and I'm sat here, which I thought was a very nice thing to hear from an X Factor contestant. Stereo Kicks are 3-1. J. James, 9-2 to leave this week. Fleur East, 25. Lauren Platt, 40-1. Ben Haynau, 50-1. Andrea Fustini is priced up at 80-1. Daniel, what are your early thoughts? Obviously, we're recording this before we know the song list. We know it's Big Band week, so we can probably have a good stab at the kind of songs that are going to be sung. A couple of clues have already been put out on Twitter and around some of the sites. I think Andrea Faustini just saying even he is wowed by his song, so we expect that to be absolutely huge again. What are your thoughts? I mean, how do you think the groups cope with Big Band, Daniel?
That's a really good question. The indication is that Stereo Kicks are going to showcase their vocals, and only the young are going to be dancing. There's going to be choreography. Quite how that plays out on the night, whether one gets castigated for doing, scolded for doing one thing, whilst the other one gets praised for doing the opposite, it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. The other thing I should note is that we've had three Big Band weeks on X Factor in previous years, and on each of those three occasions, the person singing the song, That's Life, has been eliminated.
If that happens, there should be a massive klaxon going off in people's minds, shouldn't there?
It has an 100% record. And I knew last year, as soon as Abby Alton got given That Life,
Abby Alton,
I piled in week five. And that's another thing I should add is that it's just from my own experience mainly. I have a kind of sweet spot for eliminations that comes between weeks three and five, when you know who's on the sympathy bounce, you know who's coming off the sympathy bounce. There's still plenty of dead wood in the competition, and people are still being softened up 1 week before the kill the next week. And after week five, it becomes a little trickier because producers have got rid of the dead wood, and they're left with sort of eight or so, and they can U-turn very quickly on acts. And there was a shock this time last year. We had they U-turned on Sam, Luke, Hannah. They seem to go from sort of positive to negative week after week. So things do get a little trickier from now on. Having said which, there are four very clear people in the frame for bottom two appearances or eliminations, and the four who are at the head of the outright market look like they're going to be around for at least another week or two.
Mm. When we look at the YouTube, I mean, there are many things that people look at. We look at the YouTube hits. I mean, you know, last week, for instance, Jay and Paul, not surprisingly, they were in the bottom two, both polled the fewest. The highest was Stereo Kicks, but probably as much for Lee Nelson running onto the stage as their performance. You know, if you take that out of the equation, then, you know, Andrea was miles ahead of everyone else. But you look at, like, you know, Stevie still polling very few. It's almost like you people are happy to enjoy him on the show, but they don't want to go and watch what he does again, do they? It's there, or, you know, watch it then and forget about him, you know. And I just can't believe people are going to carry on voting for him. Isn't the joke wearing a little thin now, do you think, with Stevie?
I mean, I think he's a poor man's Wagner myself, and I've thought that since week one.
Yeah.
But the whole point of the novelty is to divide opinion, is to have people like you saying that, and for other people to say, oh, but, you know, he adds a bit of fun. The show, he's like a bit of a change from all the serious ballads and stuff. So the normal sort of timeline for these acts is they stick around until week seven, till the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
If they follow that same route with Stevie, then he's going to make it through this week, whether he avoids the bottom two again or whether they get him in the bottom two. And they get it to deadlock, and he's got more votes than the other act in the bottom two.
Rob, only the young, the favourites on your market here. They polled very low on YouTube hits, and they're getting. I mean, I quite like. I mean, as a band, not my cup of tea, but they're so together. The harmonies are excellent. They sound brilliant, but it's getting a little bit staid now, isn't it? It's the same old thing every single week. And if they do that again with Big Band, it might not work, as Daniel was suggesting. 7-4, you think that's a fair price?
Yeah, I think when they announced it was Big Band week, my first thought was that only the young out of all of them were going to be probably struggling more than any. And I don't know, it's just... they get quite good comments compared to some of them, compared to your Stevies and even sort of Jay and Paul last week. They did say, look, they've got a place in this this contest, and it is a pleasure. They enjoy watching them, they enjoy the performances, but it never seems to sort of translate to actually votes through YouTube and stuff. And they've been in the bottom two as well. I do wonder how they're going to sort of survive this week. I think they will be in the bottom two, and I think they will be in the bottom two with Jay again, actually. I just, again, I think this Jay James thing sort of run its course, and I don't really see what they can do with him. even with Big Band Week, which probably should suit him a little bit more than the previous couple of weeks.
Yeah, a consecutive bottom two is quite a rare thing in these talent competitions, of course. The much talked about bounce, but I think Stephanie Nala was bottom two in the first 2 weeks, wouldn't we? And we do see it, don't we? He hasn't done much, has he, Daniel, to make people love him. Joe James, particularly?
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly a Marmite act. It all depends on whether producers decide to work with the bounce and help him up or not. As with Steph, I mean, with Steph, they decided to damn her with a terrible slot and a terrible staging, and that was it. Whereas only the young first time with the bounce, they were given Monster Mash, which was a great song for them. So it all depends on whether producers are willing to help him bounce or not.
Yeah, and I suppose I tweeted out last week, you can't ignore the fact that if he's consistently getting low votes, then there's very little reason to keep him in. If it's not growing, then they're not making much money out of him, so what's the point in keeping him on board, I suppose. What about, let's have through a prediction. You said this was like your, you're setting yourself up for a fall, obviously, Daniel, but you said this is your golden period now.
My golden period's just finished.
Oh, right, okay, that's fine.
It's weeks of 3 and 4 are always good for me. It kind of gets a little, 5 can be okay. My prediction is if they want to keep Stevie out of the bottom two, which I think they do, then Jay, I'm always willing to go with the idea of a bounce rather than against it, because that's what the stats tell me. And so there's an obvious bottom two with two acts who've been in the bottom two already. In fact, they have 3 appearances, and that's the two bands, Stereo Kicks versus Only the Young. And it's a nice, controversial save of Stereo Kicks again, tooting, because obviously Louis has to abstain because they're both his acts, and then only takes 2 of the other 3 judges to vote Stereo Kicks. So there's controversy because they keep being saved. They become like the Katie Vassal of 2014, and they're 2 acts that they've shown can already be down in the bottom 2, and Stevie lives to kind of annoy everybody for another week. Yeah. So if I were a producer, going through the different scenarios, that for me would works out as a nice one. Yeah. As I say, we'll see how the actual show works out on Saturday, and if anyone gets That's Life and the song choices this afternoon, that's a red flag. Yeah. Otherwise, that's my prediction.
Yeah, interesting, Rob. What are your thoughts on this? What about?
I'm actually astounded by the That's Life.
Brilliant.
I didn't realise until earlier, but I just think Only the Young, I think we all agreed on, are going to be bottom two. I suppose you can make a case for Stereo Kicks again. I think Stereo Kicks are probably due a later slot, which should help them. I'm still gonna go with Jay James. I think Cal's got 4 of the final 8, hasn't he? And I think they'll probably want him to lose one at some point, knowing the fact that he's probably gonna lose Stevie in a couple of weeks as well. So I think Only the Young are probably are gonna go up. A speculative bet maybe on Jay James at 92.
Just a quick word on a couple of the female acts that interest me. Lauren Platt, first of all. Reading on SofaBet, Daniel, brilliantly, you even named a hotel. It was a very posh VT, wasn't it? It was a very kind of, I mean, a lot of people say to me they don't like Lauren because she looks like she's got a silver spoon in her mouth. She basically, she's just almost like a spoiled brat, which I haven't really seen, but that's what you get when you talk to people. Oh yeah, she looks spoiled. And that VT didn't do anything to dispel those rumours. I mean, they had more sandwiches and cakes for 3 people than I've ever seen in my life. But they can't get rid of you. I mean, she can't go yet because Cheryl can't be left without an act. She's got to be in the final, but I wonder how they're going to get her there.
They've name-checked her for the final already. They've name-checking her for the final last week, and they're clearly playing on this kind of Cheryl, Lauren, best friends thing as a way of helping her there. So I expect to see her in the final. She's come up with the same performance now for 5 weeks, and she seemed to peak in week 1. So she's going to have to bring it again at some point. So this week or next, because at the rate she's going, she's kind of starting to fall behind. And I agree with you. I think that she has always sort of come across as someone who doesn't have a journey. And of course, X Factor is all about the sob story and people their lives being transformed. And that doesn't quite work for Lauren because of her sort of comfortable upbringing and her sort of natural confidence. It's all a bit sort of meh, really.
Yeah, she's never 17 either. Even if she goes out like soon, at least she's got the fact, Rob, that she will always be friends with Cheryl. You know, because 31-year-olds and 17-year-olds often become best mates, well, don't they? And they share a lot of things in common. You know, I'm sure she'll be going to gigs with them and stuff.
Who was the girl that... in the auditions that Cheryl said, oh, I remember you from about 6 years ago, after she'd probably seen her name scrawled on a piece of paper just before she went into the...
By the way, Cheryl, this girl was on. Speaking of producers and everything, I'm not allowed to say much about it, but I think we might have mentioned it, but we're hoping to get Steve Brookstein on the podcast next week, the release of his book, Getting Over the X, and I've been given a copy to read before I speak to him, and it's great. It is really good. You're going to love it, Daniel. You're just going to absolutely... Everyone who likes the kind of the production elements and all the stuff, I'm not allowed to say anything about it other than the fact I'm reading it, and it's so interesting. It's so good to read. So hopefully we'll get Steve on next week, and he'll tell us a little bit about the book and everything else. The other one I wanted to talk about was Fleur East. Now, at some point, is she just going to go under the radar one week? She's got... We know that geographically, you don't get much support if you're a London act or an artist. I'm wondering if she's peaked a little early, guys. I mean, I'm not saying she's bottom two this week, but she'll be a big prize for bottom two at some point in the next couple of weeks. Is there more reason to vote for Stevie, for instance? And if Jay bounces, and we're talking about an overs being in the bottom, Ben looks safe as houses at the minute. I'm not convinced by Fleur still. Maybe, and I agree with you, Daniel, that maybe we've underestimated her, but I think she's peaked very early.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see her in the bottom two in the next couple of weeks. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I do think she's someone they want to get to the final, though. So she's another one who will be saved over pretty much anybody else. She'll find herself in the bottom two with.
Yeah, and I don't think she'll go. I think she'll stick around. But I just think if you can get a big price about her being in the bottom two, it might be worth a little look. So I think we're pretty much all agreed on only the young then. Rob, yeah?
Only the young, definitely bottom two. Whether they go is another matter, but I definitely think they're down there.
Yeah, fair enough.
We'll be struggling.
And Daniel, you're looking at a similar thing as well.
I am, yeah.
An all group bottom two and a controversial save for Stereo Kicks.
Yeah, that's my pre-song choice revelation.
Yes, that's fair enough,
prediction.
Yeah. And the main tip is if someone's singing That's Life, then bet responsibly, but unload.
Bet responsibly. What if Andrea sings That's Life?
Oh, wow. That will be a massive test of the... That'll be great, yeah. Won't it?
Yeah.
You'd be laughing, wouldn't you, Rob, if Andrea...
I'd love to get... Do you know what? Every single eviction we've done this year has gone to the favourite in X Factor. So what I want is just one result to go my way. If I can get Andrea gone,
that'd be massive.
I'll be coming back down to London again with more award.
That would be absolutely massive. Daniel, thanks for your time today.
Pleasure. Thank you, Lee.
Make sure you check out SofaBet, of course. Fantastic entertainment, as well as great information as well. And obviously on Twitter as well, at SofaBet. We'll speak to Daniel next week. Rob, we've got to talk about I'm a Celebrity now.
Yeah.
I can't believe this has come around so quickly. We've got the full lineup, of course. Jimmy Bullard is a 7-4 favourite, former Premier League footballer. Craig Charles 9-2, him of Red Dwarf and of a soap, more latterly. Which one is it? Is it Coronation Street?
Coronation Street. Yeah.
Melanie Sykes, a TV host, and she's kind of been around on our TV screens for a long time, hasn't she? 7-1. Tinchy Strider, 9-1. Would you call him an R&B artist or a rap artist, Rob? What would you call him?
Yeah, one of them.
Okay. Michael Burke, news guy, 10-1. Carl Fogarty, motorbike champion, 12-1. Gemma Collins of TOWIE fame is 12-1. Kendra Wilkinson. Remind me who Kendra Wilkinson is, Rob.
Kendra Wilkinson's a model. That's all I can tell you about her.
What, just any kind of modelling? Does she do finger?
Bear with me.
No, don't look it up. You should know all this. Have you not got your press pack?
No, I've not got the press pack this year.
Oh, what?
She's an American personality, businesswoman and global model and author. She's 29 years old, born in San Diego. She's high, she's 1.63 metres. She's married to Hank Basket.
Hank Basket?
Hank Basket.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll do. I don't get too much information.
She's one of Hugh Hefner's three girlfriends.
Right. Next up in the betting is Nadia Ford. Nadia's a model and a singer, apparently. I can't remember many of her songs. Phobias, creepy crawlers, heights in the dark. Yeah, you're going to love this, Nadia. And Vicky Michelle. How can Vicky Michelle be at 20-1, Rob? I mean, our younger listeners won't even know who Vicky Michelle is. Vicky Michelle was the sex siren, wasn't she, of a lower low?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Black curly hair, wasn't it?
You know, when I saw Vicky Michelle's name, that was the only one I thought, oh, brilliant. Quite good to see Vicky Michelle. Do you know who I'd like to see in the jungle one day? And she, Vicky Michelle kind of reminded me of her. I'd like to see Linda Lasardi in the jungle. That's just a personal preference. She hasn't done the jungle, sure.
You know what? I'm sure she's done some reality, hasn't she?
Has she?
Let me check while you talk about why the footballer's going to win.
Our friend here at William Hill, Robbie Savage, was rumoured to be in the jungle. Strikes me that Jimmy Bullard is probably a poor man's Robbie Savage. I couldn't touch him personally at 7-4, Rob. I mean, you know, he's...
He's not a poor man's Robbie Savage, is he? He's a cheaper option than getting Robbie Savage.
Yeah, he's a poor I'm a Celebrity Robbie Savage. Jimmy Bullard is everyone thinks he's like this kind of like, you know, oh yeah, a cheeky chappy. I was talking to a few people earlier in the week about him, and you know, when he got his England call up, and it was a major thing for someone to rise through the ranks so much. He's written about that time, and it didn't really take it serious. I wonder, there's a history, Rob, of football people who obviously love the banter, not quite working when they come up with, you know, are in close contact with, you know, regular people who don't like the banter as much as they do. And when you're stuck there for that long, I'm thinking kind of like Rodney Marsh, remember? He didn't quite, yeah. I know he's an older generation, didn't quite work. That's a very short price, 7-4. Why so short?
You got your big Ron, haven't you, and a few others and people like that.
They're obviously a different generation, and you know the way they're a little bit sexist and all the rest of it.
Big Ron was Big Brother, wasn't he?
Yeah. Jimmy Bullard won't be like that. I'm not seeing him like that, but I'm not sure he is he's all about practical jokes and making fun of people. You know, for instance, when they got called up to the England squad, him and David Bentley had a competition as to who could say Postman Pat to the England manager at the time, Fabio Capello, the most times. I mean, that's the kind of humour, which, you know, relatively funny. I'm not saying that's, you know, I'm not being po-faced about it, but, you know, I wonder if that will wear thin a little.
Yeah, I mean, it depends.
Why is it 7-4, Rob?
Because there's not, when you look at what's left, there's not that many people that can really challenge him. I still don't, there's two more going in, isn't there? There's talk about Tom Daly going in, Michelle Keegan, I think was the other one.
Yeah.
So, the 7-4 is short, and I wouldn't take it knowing the fact that if Tom Daly came in, that Tom Daly's probably fab to win it.
Yeah.
But Bullard, to me, seems very much the sort of Phil Tufnell type of character. Now, Phil Tufnell won this pretty easily in what looked like pretty much as weak a field as this as well. So there's reasons why he's 7-4. I don't think it's a great price, but we could be sat here next week and he's even money. Looking at the 10, he's likely to get as much airtime, probably more than anybody else. And as we've shown on this show, plenty of times you need the airtime. If you don't get the airtime, then you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable for the weekly of the daily elimination as well. So airtime on this show is probably more crucial than any other reality TV show. Yeah. I think you'll get it.
Fair enough. People who haven't followed this as closely as we have over the years, the previous winners, Kian Egan won in 2013, Charlie Brooks the year before, Dougie Poynter, Stacey Solomon, Gino De Campo, Joe Swash, Christopher Biggins, Matt Willis, Carol Thatcher, Joe Pasquale, Kerry Katona, Phil Tufnell and Tony Blackburn. One thing that when I read through that list, one thing that strikes me, Rob, is that in complete contrast to, say, something like Celebrity Big Brother, where you tend to find maybe it's the character who divides opinion most,
yeah.
that list that I've just read out, by and large, is full of people who were genuinely nice on the show, who had very, very pleasant personalities and who the audience grew to love.
Pleasant personalities, good, obviously good airtime, and to be quite honest, a lot of those people went on to do other stuff for sort of ITV.
Hang on a minute, but this airtime thing, Dougie Pointer didn't have much airtime at all.
No, Dougie Pointer was a strange one because he didn't have any airtime at all and people didn't realise he was in it. Mark Wright.
Neither did Keane, really, Rob.
Don't forget, Mark Wright was sort of 1 to 6, 1 to 7.
Yeah, I remember.
This show does get, you do get more shocks in this show than any other show.
But Kieran Egan wasn't like all over our screens all the time. There were much more, that holds true, you know.
Who did Kieran Egan beat?
I'm not sure that whole idea. I know we've said, like, you know, airtime. I'm not sure that definitely.
I think Kieran got a lot more airtime. There was something happened towards the end of that, somebody.
Well, I mean, obviously, towards the end, you know, you get more airtime because there's only three of you in the jungle.
Yeah, I know, but I think they showed him in a really good light, sort of the last sort of two or three nights, and that really pushed it. He was behind in the polls for a lot of the series. It was only sort of in the last sort of 24, 48 hours before the end did he actually.
That says to me the polls are rubbish, to be fair. But but what I'm saying, Rob, is that it's fair saying that he had more airtime towards the end of the show, but that's not much good when you're having a bet before the show's even started.
Yeah, if we take the fact that Bullard at 7-4 is too short, where's his rivals? Craig Charles to me is the obvious one at 9-2. He strikes me as somebody who is probably going to be quite good in the jungle. I don't think he's going to get too many of the tasks. I think boredom's probably going to be his problem. Same with Bullard. I don't think Bullard's going to get as many tasks as I thought he was going to get at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking through and, you know, I'm not sure about Craig Charles. I mean, interesting. On the ITV website, by the way, ITV.com, there's a really nice, they've set this out really nicely, and gives you a bit about each contestant, and it tells you, you know, find out about, you know, their jungle plan, a little interview beforehand. So, for instance, Craig, he hasn't got any phobias, he doesn't fancy the eating trials, who does? Michael Burke's phobia is cats. I think he'll be all right there, to be fair.
Fine, there won't be too many of them.
I think he'll be all right. Tinchy Strider, if you're wondering he's got no phobias, nothing. Might do quite well with the younger audience. Snakes and spiders are Vicky Michelle's. That's bad news. Carl Fogarty, food, boredom and people are his phobias. That doesn't bode well, does it?
No.
Melanie Sykes, heights and claustrophobia. See, I think if you're looking for someone who fits the kind of the nice, the pleasant personality, someone who will muck in and do every single job, you know, obviously I don't know her, but she just strikes me as that kind of person who would be very a very good camp mate. And I think Melanie Sykes at 7-1 is probably my initial gut feeling. The other one, Kendra, free-falling, bugs and snakes.
Fine. Well, yeah, come along to I'm a Celebrity. I don't know. Every year I have this same rant about the show. Why? If you don't like snakes, if you don't like spiders, why the hell are you going on this show?
I can give you about six reasons.
Probably six reasons with a nought on the end.
Exactly, yeah. Five of the reasons are noughts.
I've had a bet.
Oh!
As you
Woo!
Do.
What are you going for?
I've backed Gemma Collins.
Really?
More for the fact that it's a sort of one of these sort of back to lays, because I think she will be given a lot. I think she will get a lot of these early tasks.
She will get the tasks, yeah.
And I think I'm going to give this towie thing one more go.
Do you know what the definition of insanity is, Rob?
Me, yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
I know, but maybe just one last chance. I just like the she was really good on Splash, wasn't she?
Was she?
The bruised bosoms.
Well, I don't know if she's really good. I thought.
No, she wasn't a very good. I think she.
No, I mean, just generally.
The fact that she sort of wanted to do it, I think she went up to the top thing, didn't she?
Yeah.
She made complete enough of. Cock up a bit.
Well, by process of elimination here, Rob, like, I can't see Vicky Michelle winning it. I think she could go far, though, actually. I don't think she deserves to be the rank outsider.
I think the older people tend to go. I mean, Vicky Michelle now would be in her late 50s, at a guess.
David Emmanuel was the runner-up last year, Rob.
Yeah.
He's older.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like... But I mean, you know,
the older person, Carol Thatcher,
Eric Bristow did really well in it as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think she could go quite well. You know, Fatima Whitbread was writing the fight. Willie Carson was, I think, day 19 the year before. I don't think she should be the rank outsider in this. I mean, you know, people will know her and people will recognise her. No one will know who Kendra Wilkinson and Nadia Ford are.
If you're on Wikipedia, you do.
True. But yeah, I mean, by process of elimination, can't see Vicky Michelle winning, can't see Kendra or Nadia winning. Gemma Collins is a first shout. She'll probably, you know, people do know her, and she's been doing a lot of press beforehand. Carl Fogarty sounds like he might rub people up the wrong way a little bit.
I don't think he's never really wanted the public limelight, has he?
He needs the money. I don't know. Michael Burke. I think, depending on what his personality is like, he could be the dad of the camp.
Yeah, Michael Burke's the obvious one for a sort of journey, isn't he? Mm. But again, it's difficult, isn't it? Newsreaders, what's the newsreader list?
What's the newsreader record like on this?
People have been on there, aren't they? So,
I haven't done that research, I must admit.
You should do more research before you come on the podcast.
Tinchy Strider, 9-1. Tinchy Strider's an interesting one because obviously we're different. He's one of the youngest. He is probably the most well known to a younger audience of any of the contestants, isn't he? So it looks from this point that he's got, maybe Gemma Collins as well. But it looks like, you know, he's kind of in a bracket of his own in the camp. So he probably will get quite a lot of support, won't he?
Voting demographic, a little bit older on this. Tinchy Strider would do well in something like X Factor.
I don't think he's going to do X Factor, isn't he?
He could do. You never know.
What do you mean the voting demographics are a bit different in this?
Well, it's a little bit older, isn't it?
Do you think?
The show's on a little bit later. The show's on about 9 o'clock, isn't it? So the voting demographic, the kids won't be watching it. Most of the kids are going to bed.
Do you think?
We discussed this last year, and that's what you said to me.
Was it? I changed my mind quite a bit these days.
That's what I've got written down from listening to last year's podcast.
Whatever. As if you do that much work. Jeez. You've been collecting awards all week. You haven't had time to listen back to podcasts and note down my pearls of wisdom. And you're an idiot.
To be fair, I've got people to do that.
Brilliant. I'm a bit undecided on Tinchy. I think depending on his personality, I think he could be a bit of a surprise package in this. I think there's some value in this market, and it doesn't start with J or end in Bullard. I'm not sure about him.
I'm with you. He could win this by a landslide. People up the wrong way and go. Gemma Collins for me 12-1, but I don't think entered camp yet.
No sportsman's won since Phil Tufnell, by the way, which was in 2003. So sportsmen haven't done particularly great in it through the years. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. The loads of other markets on the specials page. We've got to wrap this up because we're knocking on an hour here, Rob, which is incredible.
I've got to go to work.
Yeah, you've got to actually get to work now. But there's National TV Awards, there's a Sexy Women, there's a Christmas specials. I will mention one very quick thing, though. The number one single, Band Aid 30, now 4-5, appearing on the X Factor itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
11-10 for the winning X Factor act. Peace Collective, which gets released the week before Christmas, is 8-1. So this could be a real good three-way tussle for the Christmas number one this year.
Go on.
I was just going to say, hopefully that'll mean that, you know, the charity singles get as much money as possible if it becomes a real three-way race.
Well, yeah, the charities are what we mainly do it for, isn't it? Not just for, like, one individual's, like, bonus and stuff like that. But,
Do you know if the X Factor song is money goes to charity? I'm presuming it does.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so that means that'll be three charity singles vying for number one spot.
Well, it's Comic Relief. It's not Comic Relief tonight. I'll start again. It's Children in Need tonight.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Thanks.
You can start to donate some of your high earnings again. I will tell you one thing about the Christmas number one. It's been quite volatile this week. Obviously, once the Band Aid announcement last week that One Direction were going to be singing in it, plus others, it went as short as 1-4.
Yeah.
But obviously, when they announced it, it was also being released physically next week. it's come back in. You'd probably say now that the X Factor's a little bit of value, now that I've backed something else. So,
Peace Collective surely got a shout, though.
Peace Collective could have a shout, yeah.
8-1.
Palms all together now.
Great song.
It was a great song.
Yeah. Brilliant. That'll do us, I think, Rob. Thank you very much for your time today. Congratulations on winning your award.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Andy Holding as well. Long departed. It seems like an hour ago we spoke to Andy. Oh, it is. And thanks to Daniel Gould as well, of course, from SofaBet. Make sure you go and check out the website before, after and during the weekend. Some great articles on there. And follow Rob at reality_Rob on Twitter. It's at Lee Phelps and at SofaBet for all Daniel and his friends' musings. Thank you for downloading the podcast or listening to it. And if you're having a bet on any of the specials markets this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.